Believe and receive what you've said. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Our scripture text for this morning will come from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10, as well as Romans 8. Amen. And while you are making your way to those passages, I just want to take the opportunity to honor and recognize the set leadership of this house in the person of Pastor Bowden, as well as his developmental team, deacons, members, all of you out here. I honor you and salute all of you this morning. Amen. 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 Let's take a look at the Word of God, beginning Isaiah 41 and 10, which reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then matriculating on over to Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated as you bless the Lord with all that you have. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us just agree with me in a word of prayer as I prepare to share with you what God has given me. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I come humbly before your presence with a yes in my spirit, God. Yes to you, yes to your will, yes to your way. God, I pray right now and surrender my will to your will, God. My voice to yours, God, that I will speak your oracles to your people. And I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that you will anoint me afresh to be your messenger at this hour. And God, I pray your anointing over your people, God, that you will till the soil of our hearts, that we will accept your word, God, that we will abide by, embrace it, and live, God, because you are Lord. And if you said it, we know that it's solid. Help us to understand that, be aware of that, and embrace that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about being intentionally held, carried, and kept by our King. I'm not coming with anything new that you don't already know, but however, I do want to remind you and stir up that what may be dormant in you so that you can know the power with which you stand. Amen? Amen. Have you ever recalled a derogatory situation when you were wronged or disrespected and then later thought to yourself, "I don't know why I didn't knock or cuss him or her out"? You ever had that instance when you didn't respond like that? The conclusion of the matter is God held you in that moment. Have you ever found yourself in a specific position, place, or situation that was so surreal? "Oh God, this is so good. This is wonderful. How did I get here?" Realizing you did not have the resources nor the status quo. And you say to yourself, "I don't know how I got here." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The conclusion is he carried you.
Yeah.
Amen. Chef B, you can attest to that, can't you?
Yes.
God did it. He brought it to you. He carried you there. Have you ever wondered, and I just want to make it real for you this morning as we get into the passage. Have you ever wondered, why didn't I give up with a quickness when things got rough? All of us have experienced rough times. Why is it that I didn't give up when it got really, really rough? And I hung in there. I thought I was just hanging in there, but the actuality is that he kept me in that process. Amen? It was God's keeping me. And because life just keeps on lifing, and it just won't stop.
Yeah.
We too often lose sight of the fact that God does not leave us and he will not forsake us.
Amen.
Even when we find ourselves in the midst of this, in the midst of that, in the midst of the other, I assure you, we are held, carried, and kept by the Lord.
Amen.
Intentionally held, let's just elaborate on that just for a moment. Being intentionally held is something that is done with purpose and awareness and deliberate intent. When God is holding you, saints, it's not an accident. When he is holding us, it's not because we've earned the position of being held. But God intentionally holds us because he loves us like that. And we belong to him. And he's a good father taking care of his children, even when we're weary, even when we're hard-headed, even when we're disobedient, and we think we got it going on like that. God continually holds us. Being intentionally carried refers to an action that is performed deliberately, purposefully, and as one's conscious objective, not accidentally, and it's not involuntarily. God on purpose, with a purpose, intentionally carry us through the things that we go through to keep us safe. Even when they look ugly, he's still carrying us. Amen?
Amen?
And then being intentionally kept implies a deliberate and thoughtful act of keeping something rather than being passive. You know, we have a passivity about us where we just go on with things. But when we are kept by the Lord, he's not being passive. He is intentional. And it does not mean that every day will be roses. And even when they're not, we're still kept by the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The larger part of Isaiah 41 gives us insight into ways God comes to the aid of those who trust him. Do you trust him? Just give him a wave if you trust him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then this message is for you. The message of Isaiah 41:10 is consolation from God to all who trust in him. This verse talks about God's promises to deliver us from whatever is staring us in the face, be it worries, anxieties, troubles, or distress. His right hand will uphold us. And we are assured of that in 41:10. Sometime, because life is lifing, fear will arise. When we hear on the news in our neighborhoods where gun violence has taken a toll on our children, children killing children, it can bring up a spirit of fear. When we have a look at our state and we think about a governor who is trying to eradicate the history of black citizens, forcing us to find new avenues to educate our children about our history, a little anger can arise, a dismay. When we think and look at the news, at our present leadership of this country, and some of the antics that they're doing and some of the decisions that seem so far-fetched, so far away from what should be made, it sometimes leaves us baffled and speechless. Amen?
Amen?
And all we can say is, Lord, help us.
Yeah.
In this life, we will face seasons of uncertainty, turbulent situations, trials and tribulations. But I'm here to tell you this morning, be encouraged.
Amen.
God is there. He is here. His being there, being here with us, is synonymous with us conquering and coming out all right.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation, as long as we know that God is in it with us, we're coming out okay.
Amen.
A witness that we have is Caleb in Joshua 14:10. And you know the story of Caleb. I won't take you back through it. You know when Moses sent out some spies to spy out the land and there was giants and some of the fellas thought, well, we better not mess with that. Those fellas are too big. But Caleb said that the Lord said this land belongs to us. We can take it.
Yeah.
I don't care what the giant looked like. I don't care how big they are, how mean they look. If God said that this belongs to us, it's ours. And we're well able to take it. That Caleb is the one that I want to just give you a peek of his testimony as he looked back some 38 years or so from that occasion. Caleb was sitting there and he in his mind's eye went back and thought about that thing. That I was one of the only ones who were willing to go in, which was against the majority who said we couldn't. And Caleb said, "Now behold, the Lord had kept me alive." God did what? He kept me. Yes. As he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day, a lot of years later, but this day, here I sit. I'm old now, and I look back, and God has, yeah, that word. He kept me. Thank you, Lord. So I wouldn't let go. Thank you, God. You take the time out to think back to a situation in your own life. You know when God performed beyond your understanding. Have you ever had God work that miracle in your life and you didn't know how he did it? But he did it. That's where I'm trying to send your imagination. Stir up that part of your memory bank. Amen? Amen. Even when we tread uncharted waters, tumultuous tides and tidal waves that toss us to and fro. Amen. To and fro. We just don't know where to turn. We don't know where to go. We don't have to worry because God is intentionally holding us. Yeah. If you feel like you're in a holding pattern and you don't know where to go, be all right. Because yeah. God is holding you. Sometimes it's okay to stand still and be held. And while he's holding you, he's telling you to see the salvation of the Lord because he will perform. Another witness that we have is Isaiah 26 and 3. I want you to know, I want you to believe emphatically that you are held, kept, and carried by the Lord. Amen? Amen. I want you to know that. And the only way we're going to know is true, it comes from the Bible. Amen? So I have a couple of more scriptures of people who knew God like that, who are talking to us so that we can understand God like that as well and find comfort in God's plans for our lives. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Why is God going to keep you in perfect peace? Because you trust him. You can't trust God and God not show up. That is your sure, solid, that God will show up for you if you will but trust him. You know, we sing, "I trust in God, the Savior, the one." When we really, really trust him, especially in those seasons when we're not understanding, we're not feeling good, things don't seem like they're working out for our good, I still choose to trust you. Amen. And Isaiah said, "Lord, I found out that even in those seasons," this same man who didn't know the Lord until Uzziah had died, y'all know the story, then he saw the Lord in his train fill the temple, and he said, you know, to wash my mouth, put the coals on my mouth. I've been that bad. And he's concluded, "You know what, Lord? The more I learn about you, the closer I get to you, I have found out that you will keep him in perfect peace, or her, or any creature whose mind is stayed on you, God, not their situation, not their circumstances, but the mind is stayed on you, God, that you will keep them in perfect peace." And I'm a witness. I've tried this, kept my mind on him, even when I had to snatch my flesh, pull my mind back intact, and put it back on the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm not telling you something that is just like lolly, dolly, dotty, and everybody kind of thing. You have got to make your flesh trust God when your flesh don't even know how to see God moving. When your flesh can't trace God, will you trust God? Hallelujah. If you can but trust him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Not that you paid $1 million in tithes. Not because you showed up every Sunday and every Wednesday. But the Lord will keep your minds in perfect peace because you trust him. Hallelujah. Don't fail to trust him. And then Psalms 30, y'all know David and a lot of his history. David, a man after God's own heart. He messed up, he fessed up, and the Lord said, if we confess our faults, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David wasn't a man after God's own heart because David did everything right every day of the week. But when he messed up and realized he messed up, he went and fessed up. Amen. And God cleaned him up. And that's why the Lord said, this is a man after my own heart.
Right.
Hallelujah. So don't make the world think that you everything you do is going to be perfect. The Lord made a way of escape.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we are going to mess up. But because Jesus, before he left, he laid out a plan for forgiveness and for salvation. Don't fail to take it. But this comes from David in 30 and 3. He says, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. How low can you go? How dark can it get when he can identify it as being in the position of the grave? And David said, thou hast what? Kept me alive. Even in the grave-like situation, when the death could have taken me out, you, O God, kept me alive. It wasn't because I was David, that man who could kill, wipe out a whole army by himself, who could take out a bear with the jawbone of a donkey. Not any of that. But I was at my lowest low, God. Death was hovering over me in the grave. And because I trusted you, God, even in death's face, you kept me alive. The Bible tells us that the Lord led death captivity, right? He set at liberty those. Death itself can't outweigh God's keeping of you. Amen?
Amen?
David said, you kept me, God, even in that low place, that I should not go down to the pit. I'm at the door of the pit. It's dismal. It's dark and it's gloom.
Yeah.
But you kept me, God, so I didn't have to go into it. Amen?
Amen?
God is willing to do that for us. Another witness, 1 Peter 1 and 5, just says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept.
Yeah.
Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, another dark, dismal place. Thou hast kept me alive. Hallelujah. So you have two witnesses, three witnesses, four witnesses, that God's keeping power does not fail. Amen?
Amen.
Our King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, maneuvers his sails and land us safely ashore. Does not matter where we are. He's able to do that. And since I happen to be mentioning the sailing and the shore, I can't help but think about Jonah. You know Jonah's story, right? The Lord told him to go to Nineveh. And Jonah decided, them people in Nineveh, they're just wicked. They don't need to be saved. The Lord said, Jonah, go down and tell the people, you know, I'm ready to save them and, you know, deliver them and accept their repentance. Jonah decided, Uh-uh. They're not going to get it like that. The Lord said, Jonah, when the Lord tell you to do something, just don't try to refigure it out. Don't tell God it's a bad idea. So instead of Jonah doing what the Lord said, going down to the seaport, getting on the boat, going to Nineveh, ain't going to do it, Cletus. Jonah's got on the boat and went to Tarsus. And he's out there on this boat, the wrong boat, going in the wrong direction. Now, you know the Lord should have whipped him, right? What do you do when your children do the opposite of what you tell them? Just want to make it real. Because we can look at Jonah a little funny, but we do that. We do that. Yeah. So he's on the boat and the storm comes up and like everybody think they're going to perish and he know he's the one. You know when you're guilty. So he was thrown over off the boat, you know, so everybody else can live. And I commend him for that. I commend him. I ain't going to let y'all die because I'm going in the wrong direction. So they threw him overboard. When God tells us to do something and he needs us to go to a certain place, we can take the route of the transportation that's luxurious to get where he told us to go in the first place. Or we could take the next set of transportation that may not be as comfortable as the first one. Well, you know when they threw him overboard, the Lord had prepared a great fish. How many fishermen in here? Y'all go catch the fish. The fish caught Jonah. When they threw Jonah overboard, the Lord prepared this great fish that swallowed him up. Yeah. The most amazing thing is the Lord kept him in the belly of the fish. Even in all of those guts and all of that stuff in the fish, the Lord kept him. Kept him in that fish long enough. Carried him. Where did he carry him? To Nineveh. The fish, the Lord kept him, and the Lord carried him to Nineveh, which was his first set of instructions. And the fish barfed him up over in Nineveh, where the Lord told him to go in the first place. So what I want you to get out of this is that even when you're hard-headed and doing the opposite thing of what God told you to do, he's still willing to keep you and to carry you to the place of your assignment. Amen. Amen. God's means may not look like the means we are accustomed to. And his methods can go far beyond our imagination. But that's what makes him God. And we're not. And he still performs on our behalf. We cannot deny that the Lord held Jonah, he carried him, and he kept him intact so he could deliver the message to the people that God was willing to deliver. Amen? Amen. God's means are so majestic. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I look back over some of the things and how the Lord, you know, delivered some things and brought some things, you know, to pass, it kind of leaves us and keeps us saying stuff like, I don't know how, but. You ever said that? I don't know when, but. I don't know why, but. All I know is I've been held. I know that I've been carried. And I know that I've been kept by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. You got to know that, saints. Hebrews 13 and 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stand on that word. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear, because God himself is my helper. And Romans 8 encourages us and tells us, when we are concerned about men and people in authority and hierarchy and craziness going on, Romans 8 tells us, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm not a conqueror because I've gone and worked out and I've learned how to throw a javelin or shoot whatever the weapons are. That's not what makes me a conqueror. In all of these things, I am a conqueror through him that loved us. You have to be persuaded in your own mind, especially when fear comes upon you, and fear will walk you down like nothing else just to make you scared, because fear can make you walk away from God. So if fear can overshadow you and cover you and bring you to that point where you will walk away from God, fear has made people walk away from family. Fear has made people walk away from loved ones. Fear has made people walk away from security. But you got to be persuaded in your own mind that you're not going to become a victim of fear. Because Romans 8 says, Paul found out. Y'all know he was bad too. I like talking about him, but I'm not going to do y'all like that. He's persuaded. That means I've had enough experience with God. I've had enough encounters with God that I know him like that. And I am persuaded that because of his life, that death can't even separate me from him. Angels, as wonderful as they are, cannot separate me from him. Principalities, all the things the United States government come up with, can't separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. There are no powers present. There aren't any to come that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He's keeping you. He's carrying you. He's holding you. Hallelujah. So we can boldly say, we can make this declaration. We can say this with boldness, because we're ever mindful of the cost that afforded us the right to make the claim. And what claim is that? The claim that I am held, kept, and carried. Amen? Amen. It began with a loving Father. We sometimes call him God. Who devised a perfect plan to redeem us, sinful man, back to himself. Amen. He incorporated one, his only one, and only Son, who was man enough to carry out the complete plan that put us back in the state of being held, carried, and kept. Because man had gotten so wicked. Just like the Lord sent Jonah to Nineveh, he sent Jesus to us. Amen? His plan was a perfect plan to bring us back in relationship. That one Son, with that one assignment, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but laid down his royal robe intentionally, on purpose, stepped down to earth in the form of a man. He had to get you back in relationship to be held, carried, and kept. He stepped away from his throne, laid aside his equality with God. He's equal with God. They're one. But he stepped away from that for you and for me. He took the channels to take on the form of man, which positioned him for the redemption of all mankind. Jesus walked through the entire process until the work was complete and the perfect sacrifice was made. Crucified, sacrifice. Nail-scarred hands. You think would have weakened his hands, but they made his hands strong enough to hold us. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So even when you go through terrible, crucifixion is making you strong. Jesus' crucifixion made his hand strong enough to hold us as our buried Redeemer. It equipped him to carry us. And you know, and I like the scripture that says while he was in the tomb, you know, they shut the door and left his body in there. And I believe I read somewhere that he ministered to those who had already gone on before. So in my mind's eye, and y'all don't take this, this didn't come right out of the Bible. This is Nora's imagination of what she, you know, when they closed the door, in my mind's eye, let me show you my picture. Everybody's gone. Jesus' body just lying there in the tomb. Tomb is covered. It's dark in there. Jesus got up. Went down into hell to minister to those who had gone on before. He came for all mankind, right? Amen. So because I'm a pathetic little person, I say that he went down there. He slapped death and hell in the mouth. He stomped in their chest, tap danced on their liver, and dared their soul to move. Because he was on a mission to hold us, to carry us, to keep us. And I like in my mind's eye to always remember he bad like that. He is just bad like that. So whatever you need to do to help your flesh connect and realize just who he is. You find your story. Now see, those were like fighting a little thing in my day. We fought with words more than with anything else. And when we got down to that line, you know, like, you know, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do this to you. And then the last line, nobody could come back. When you said, look, I was stomping your chest, tap dance on your living. Dare your soul to move. You know, no, that wasn't no comeback. That wasn't. The fight was over. The fight was over. So that's why for me to connect.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Amen. Find your connection. And then the resurrected Savior, because he got up with all power in his hand.
Yeah,
he's power enough to keep us.
Yeah.
So to solidify our position, the position that kept, carried, and held us, the one that we are assured of in Hebrews 13, it says, be content. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Don't let nobody tell you that God doesn't love you because you are this or you are that. Don't take the bait. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. Don't make anybody make you feel like you're unworthy of his love. He chose you intentionally to love. And nobody has nothing to say about that. Nobody can cancel that. He loves us. That's why he keeps us. So we may boldly come before the throne of the Lord. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me, whether with his mouth, with his hands, with his weapons. Because God is holding you, he is carrying you, and he's man enough to keep you. That alone gives us bragging rights. So when you come up against something that you think is too hard, the only person you have to convince is your flesh. Get in your mirror and say whatever the doctor said, whatever Jenny May said, whatever Jimmy Dean said, you better realize you are held, carried, and kept by the Lord. To God be the glory. Give him a hand praise, if you will. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we know that these benefits, the Lord loves all of us. But there are added benefits to those who will accept him.